precious brother in Christ. Emmanuel Chapel has sponsored Danny and Nancy DeGuzman for over 34 years. Very first missionary that we began to sponsor. And every month, without fail, for that 34 years, we've been able to send some support to them. 7 years ago, they were with us. And it's an honor and a pleasure to have this man of God all the way from Philippines with his lovely wife, who I told him that hasn't aged a day, with us here today to minister to us and share with us. Would you give a warm welcome to Danny and Nancy DeGuzman, our good friends from the Philippines. By the way, Brother Robinson pastors still in Williamsport, Maryland, so we're not that far apart. Bless you, Brother.
Pastor, have your children shared, or they
stand? We have your children? I guess so. Yeah.
Greetings from the Philippines in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm kind of emotional today because of what the Lord has done to us over there in the Philippines. By the way, excuse us to our own language, because over there we speak more than 100 languages.
Dialects.
That's why our pronunciation, our English is kind of a little bit harder to understand. But through God's help, we're going to do our best to communicate with you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Yes, 34 years ago, I was in that small church in Clear Spring. And that was the time when I met Pastor Lay. I was very naive during that time because I never been in the ministry yet. I was saved, yes, but I never been in the ministry. We were staying during that time in Manila City. And I was a janitor in our home church then, before I came here. But when I came here, for at least, I think, 7 months, without knowing that it was my training time. I was not called yet in the ministry during the time. But when I stayed here and worked with different men and different pastors, and also when I met Pastor Lay, that was the time when God spoke to me to go out from Manila City to the rural area of the Philippines. So, when I came home, that was the beginning of our new ministry. You see, the very heart of Jesus Christ is soul winning. I was very young during that time, and I have one wife and one child during that time. I like to give good things to my wife and to my child, but just like what the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what the leading of the Holy Spirit to me. I said, Pastor Lay, thank you very much for your support. So when I come back to the Philippines, I told my wife, I said, wife, we're going out from this place to rural area of the Philippines. At first, my wife doesn't like to go with me. I don't blame her, because we have no house in rural areas. We have no gas stove. We have no comfort room. Toilet, what she mean? We have only one room. We have no running water. Most especially, we have no car. We have no automobile. So we started with nothing. But thank God for the support that that gives your church and Pastor Lay through the leadership of Pastor Lay. It was the beginning of our ministry. In that area where we went to, there were no Christian church. Those people were uncivilized. Do you understand when I said uncivilized? They never seen a Bible. Just like me. I never seen a Bible until we met the missionaries, Pastor Bobby, when they came to our country. That was the beginning. That was the first time when I saw the Bible, when I saw a Bible. So when we went there, oh yes, it was kind of difficult, especially for my wife and for my daughter. And many were telling me that, Danny, you are crazy. Why did you bring your wife and child over here? This is very dangerous area. But they don't know. I was telling to myself, I believe where the Lord leads, He will protect us and meet every need that we have. Amen. Amen. Later, she will tell you what she felt during the time that I was asking her to go with me. She will share that to you. So, when we reached the area, we prayed and fast. We prayed and fast. That was the beginning of our ministry over there. I said, Lord, please give us knowledge and wisdom how to start your work or your ministry over here. Because in that area, many people are very much against to other religion. They thought that we were bringing another religion. They are diehard Catholic over there. Actually, when they see you preaching or sharing some different thing than their religion, they will persecute you. They will persecute you. Especially our mayor, our vice mayor. They don't like another religion in the town and then the neighboring villages. But we really prayed. We fast and we begin to write our plan. My wife and I share together our plan. We lay hands on our plan, our strategies, and then we begin to share the gospel little by little. One person to another person. That's what the beginning of our ministry over there. Right now, just to make it short, right now we have reached 15 towns. And through God's help, we were able to establish 15 church buildings. Not by might, nor by my power, but the Spirit of God. Yes. And right now, our mother church, which is located in San Isidro, probably some of you, Pastor Lay, can see it on Facebook. We have beautiful church. We have around 150 to 200 members in the church now. Of course, it should be more than 200 because it should be more than 200. But people are kind of coming in and coming out. We have pastors in Middle East. In fact, our son, the only son that we have. By the way, God gave us 3 more children as we stay there. 2 more girls and one more boy. Now our boy, we name him Kevin. He is 29 years old right now. He is working in one American hospital in Dubai. And he's not only working over there as a medical technologist, but he works there as youth pastor. Youth pastor. Thank God. Hallelujah. And we have, she was a young people of our church, Cel de Leon and Mar de Leon. This is our young people. Now they are pastoring in Qatar. Qatar. And we have some members in Australia. We have members in Los Angeles. I mean, they are starting the work. You see. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm very thankful because I obey the Lord. I hear His voice and obey His voice. Thank you, Lord. And now we have program. And I like to share with you, see, to us Filipinos, it is more easier for us to write than to speak. So I write some of our programs, vision, and I like to share it with you. Okay. I write it here. Our vision. Now, wow. I am in the national level, and my wife is in the local level. You see, our organization, we name it Christ to the Philippines. The American missionaries name it Christ to the Philippines.
It's not only in the Philippines.
But now it's not only in the Philippines, but we Filipinos were able to penetrate Asian countries like Thailand. Now there is not only Christ to the Philippines in Thailand, we call it Christ to Thailand Mission Incorporated. And we are able to reach also Cambodia, Vietnam, India, Laos, Burma. Christ to the Philippines are sending missionaries in different countries. You see, the Lord has blessed Filipinos. See, us, we can easily adjust to our environment and and the different cultures. Like now, I don't used to eat too much food in the Philippines. But when I came here, they always bring us to the buffet. That's why one time when I came home 7 years ago, some of the children over there in our church, they were asking me, "Pastor Danny, are you pregnant?" Touching my stomach, "Pastor Danny, are you pregnant?" I said, "No, I'm not pregnant. What do you have there in your stomach?" I said, "American influence." I can't wait. But I thank God for this opportunity that we'll be able to come here. You see, my wife is kind of sickly before we came, and I was having a hard time to walk. But since we arrived, my health is restored.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I can even play basketball with the young people over there. Yes, with the teenagers, they asked me to play basketball with them, and I did play basketball last night. Thank God for the strength and for the health and the restoration of my health. Now, I'd like to share this. Right now, Christ the Philippines is divided into six groups. Six districts. Christ to the Philippines churches now are all over the Philippines, from Mindanao, where the Muslims are, way back to the north, where the Ilocanos are. Right now, Christ the Philippines is composed of 90 churches.
Hallelujah.
And six districts. And one of the head of those districts is my wife. That's why When we talk about our district, I'm submitted to her. But on the national level, she is submitted to us, to me. Okay, this is our vision now. We write it. This is our vision. We need a dynamic church, bringing Christ to every home, transforming nation. Our mission. We are committed to equip and mobilize the people of God in bringing Christ through progressive and productive stewardship in the passion for transformation, all for the glory of God. This is our strategies. Create an atmosphere conducive to the highest form of worship, induction, fellowship, and service. Empower to the saints to become creative and effective evangelists and missionaries. Develop excellent stewards and leaders in all aspects of the ministry. Establish and strengthen cooperative and mutually beneficial partnership with other mission groups. Address the needs of the communities that we serve and care for our ministries and workers who shall be instrument in the fulfillment of these dreams. This is our ministries now. Number one, mission. This program is designed purposely in making the gospel proclaimed and be spread out locally and abroad through mobilizing and training God's people to be fully equipped for the said mandate in reaching out the whole world. Social transformation aims all our churches to make an impact in their respective locality or place by bringing the gospel throughout through the acts of community transformation. Number three, institutional development. Create and implement institution development, philosophy, system, and strategies for ministry enhancement. Number four, leadership competency development. Process of equipping God's people for discovering their potential for passionate ministry for the glory of God. Stewardship aims to implement careful, responsible management of resources and facilities entrusted to our care. This is our core values. Number one, societal transformation. As ambassador of Christ, it is our responsibility to become agents of community transformation by shifting the church paradigm to include matters of community engagement, thus be channels of blessing to those around us and leave behind the legacy of Christ. Family relationship. We consistently seek to establish a fellowship of believers who will love and care for each other, unified in one purpose, to strengthen and empower, to build and rejoice in Christ. Number three, competent servant leadership. We are servant leaders, consistently seeking excellence in everything we do. We value creative and innovative thinking to grow a relevant organization. Passion for ministry. Number four, our undivided love for God fuels our overwhelming desire to be one with the passion of Christ, to reach out to those who are suffering and to be sensitive and relevant to culture of the people we are with. Number 5, pioneering spirit, such as we organize the value of spiritual disciplines, such as prayer and fasting. It allows us to become faithful and steadfast in the work in which we are called. Last but not the least, we seek to grow and nurture healthy churches by dynamically expanding ministry opportunities best fitted according to the spiritual gifts of each person. As stewards of the resources available to us, we are consistently affirmed that everything belongs to our God. We shall manage our resources prudently and justly to allow us to strengthen God's word in our midst. This is what we've been praying, and this is our plan, vision, and I know our brethren over here in America, you will continue to pray for us, and you will assist us in every way that you can. Amen. We look forward. Really, we cannot do it alone. I mean, as Filipinos and Christian workers and pastors and ministers over there in the Philippines, yes, we have the manpower, but we lack in material things. That's why we need your prayer. Thank you so much for your prayer and support. Your church, through the leading and through the leadership of Pastor Lay, you've been supporting us nearly more than 34 years. More than 34 years. And I really thank God for that. You see, it was very important, because during our difficulties, when we are beginning our ministries over there, that financial support was a great, great, great blessing to my family. Because during that time, your only church was supporting us. I tell you that. And as far as I can remember, your church began to support us with $25, Pastor. Yeah. And it begins to grow. Because I know, as we give and share to our country, to other countries, because I believe that we are blessed to bless.
Amen.
That's what should be the nature of Christians, true Christians. We are blessed to bless. We receive so that we can give. We cannot give if we don't receive. That's why America, even though that they were saying that America is in economic problem, but still, we Asian people, we can still say that America is very, 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 very much blessed. As I see, because I've been going around with different people, and many Americans were complaining. I said, they don't know what is difficulty. They don't know the hardship of life. If they can only go out from America and go to Asian countries, they will find out. They will find out what is blessing that that America has been receiving. Hallelujah! In Asia and in the Philippines, people die because of lack of food. But over here, people die because of too much food to eat. Can you see the difference? I'm telling the truth. because I've been here 4 times already, and I can see, I know some of your culture, and I know very much the culture in Asian people. Hallelujah. Thank God, and I'm very thankful to God because America has been blessed by God. That's why, as I can see, as we can, as my wife, as myself and my wife see that the devil is trying to destroy America. You have problem in Muslims and ISIS. Yes, but I know that the answer is not on American military. The answer is our God. It's our God. Who knows, it could be the instrument that American people will be awakened.
Amen.
They will have revival through these problems that you do have in America right now. I was going to share the word of God today, but we felt led that my wife is going to sing and share the word today. You see, my wife and I are one. She and me are one in the sight of the Lord. What she feel, I feel. We've been married for 40 years. And I thank God for her. The Bible says, he that findeth a good wife, findeth a good thing.
Amen.
She understands the life of the pastor. Pastor here and pastor there in the Philippines has very much different. We don't get paid over there. We have no fixed allowance. We have no insurance. Because I've been with different pastors over here, I see the privilege that the American pastors has. But I don't get jealous. I believe where the Lord leads, He provides. I may not have many beautiful things or material things, but as long I have Jesus in my heart, I'm contented. I'm happy. I serve the Lord with my wife and my whole family. Now, our 4 children are fully grown. The eldest is 39 years old. The second one,
31.
And the third one, who is the only boy, he is still single. He works in Dubai, in one of the American hospitals over there. He's 29 years old. And our youngest is 23 years old. Only 2 of them are single. 2 of them are married already. Today, I'm very proud of my wife. Because during the time that we have no house, we have no running water, no gas stove, no toilet, we only use the toilet of my sister beside our house. When we want to take a bath, I will ask her, "Sister, can I use your bathroom?" Or she will ask my sister, "Can I use your bathroom?" That was the beginning of our life in that area. But now, see, we have a saying in the Philippines, it's not your fault to be born poor in the poor family. But after you have received Jesus as your Lord in your heart, and you will continue live in poverty, it is your already fault. It is your fault. It's your problem already. Because God had provided us a mind so that we can plan, and we are blessed by the Lord. Since Jesus came in our heart, I claim that promises. And right now, we have our own house. We have now running water. We have electric. We have beautiful toilet. We have beautiful toilet. And we have automobile now. And it's not me, it's not her. Because of Him. You see, as we work to God, as we worship Him, as we be able to touch His heart through our worship and service, His hand will move. His hand will move. He will open His hand. What I mean is, when God sees our faithfulness, our commitment, God is going to bless us. Not only spiritually, but also in material things and finances. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. And my wife is going to come. She's going to sing. And she's going to share probably around over there in the Philippines. The normal time of pastor, man pastor, to preach is 45 minutes. But for the lady pastor, they preach 1 hour and a half. Just kidding. Let's join our hands for the Lord as He comes and ministers to us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here and to see all the body of Christ worshiping together in the presence of the Lord. It is just awesome to see you all after many years that you have been praying for us and supporting the work. Thank you, Pastor Lay, Sister Linda, and all the congregation here. We truly appreciate your love. It's just awesome. Hallelujah. God is good. And it's always good all the time. Jesus said, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He has done before, He is still doing today. And we are very happy to tell you that the seed that you have planted with us and in the work is prospering and bearing much fruit and yielding much fruit for the glory of God. You know, one soul that we win for the Lord cannot be compared of all the riches of the world. That's why what we are doing is winning souls for the Lord. That's what matter most, is to win souls for His glory and to bring more souls in His kingdom. That is the passion and the heart of Jesus, to win more souls wherever we are, whatever we do. Our hearts and our minds should be to win souls for Jesus. That is His mandate for the church of God, for the people of God, for the body of Christ. And we are so grateful, brothers and sisters, that we can be a part of the great move of the Holy Spirit in these last days. Because whether we like it or not, Jesus is coming soon. And He is expecting from us to bring souls in His throne and to His kingdom. That when we face Him during the judgment day, we are going to say, "Here is His, Lord. I'm laying everything before You in all the souls. And thank You that You are one of those who have been used by God, this church, so that we can bring souls through Your financial support in the ministry in the Philippines." Shall we just give God a clap offering for what He has done? Hallelujah! He is awesome. We honor You, Jesus. For You are all exalted and You are worthy of our praise. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, We pioneered the church there. And at first, I didn't want to go with him because I know to pioneer a church is not easy. Because there's no promise support. The organization that we are working, they don't support pioneering pastors. You go by faith. So it was the time that we really need to seek the Lord and stretch our faith. Have you experienced it, stretching your faith? If you are in a very tight situation. And he told me, he just came from the States in 1980. He said, well, the Lord wants us to go back to where I came from to start a church. I said, is he really the one who speak to you? You know, wives. And he said, yes, I heard him and I felt it in my heart that the Holy Spirit wants us to go back to the place where I came from. But before we got married, I told him, you don't bring me in your place because I don't like this place. It is like this place has been cursed. And now you are telling me that we are going back to that place. We have no place to stay. We don't even have money to rent a place. So he said, we're going to stay with my sister. Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't like to stay with your sister. They have their family. So I said, well, if the Lord has spoken to you, I'm going to seek the Lord. Why didn't he spoke to me also? Then he said, I'm the husband and I'm the one who leads the family. No, that's not fair. I said, I will ask the Lord to speak to me if it is really true. I have so many alibis. I said, there's no good school there. There's no mall that I can go around, you know. In the city, life is good. We stayed in our mission house and free house, free board and lodging. Everything is free, so it's easy. But you know, after searching the Lord for 3 months, I really prayed. And the Lord spoke to me through dreams. And I was in this very, very ugly place. And there were children coming to us, asking for the word of life. And I said, oh Lord, this is really you. And you are really speaking. So when I wake up, I said, Lord, I'm willing. Whatever it takes, I will follow. You know, some of us, we have that little rebels in our spirit, in our heart sometimes. But when God really speaks, we need to obey because where He guides, He will provide. It was hard, but you know, when we know that we are in the will of God, there is peace. I will never live in a place where there is no peace. I'd rather be in the will of God than in the place that I like, that I don't experience the touch and the move of God. And I thank God I obeyed and I went with my husband. I cried every day when we are in that place. I really cried. I said, Lord. I said, Lord, how long? So I have an agreement with him. Okay, I'm willing to go with you, but we will just stay there for 2 years. That's it. 2 years. No less. 2 years. Because my heart has always been in the mission. I was a missionary in Japan and in Taiwan when I was still single. So the passion of my heart is to go to mission. And I said, why are you going to that place? The Bible says that no prophet is honored in your place. And why are you going there? He said, I'm not called to be a prophet. I am called to be a pastor. Oh, okay. So, thank God I obeyed. Because if I didn't, I don't know where we are this time. It's always good to be in the center of God's will. No matter the reason in the alibi that we have or the circumstances that we are facing, it's always good to be in the center of God's will because He is a good employer.
He is a very good employer. Amen. When we obey Him, He will lead us, He will guide us, He will give us the needs that we have and we are expecting from Him. Amen. It's not like man who makes promises. But God who makes promises, He do what He says. And that's why we are here before you. We have been through many, many, many things. In hardship. Oh, we are so rich of hardship and difficulties, brothers and sisters. In the Philippines, we experience 20 to 24 typhoons annually. And it's not just like wind, you know. It has a 325 kilometers per hour winds. I think you have heard about the Typhoon Haiyan last year that hits the Philippines, the Visayan. And before that came, we had also a strong typhoon, 275 to 300 kilometer per hour winds. And it came during the night and we were not prepared because we thought, oh, it will not come, because most of the time our weather bureau, they will say, oh, we have a strong and hard downpour of rain and winds. Never comes. Just like many Christians today, sometimes they're so lenient of their faith that say, oh, Jesus will not come. But, you know, we were caught unaware. We have no flashlight. We have no food. And I was kind of fearful because I was hearing, you know, those iron sheets, you know, getting into our roof. You know, they're flying. I said, Lord, and I can feel, you know, our homes is shaking because of the strong wind. I said, Lord, you are the only safe place where we can go. Nothing but you. And I was thinking, what in the world if this roofing will be blown away? What are we going to do in the middle of the night? But the Lord spared our house. God is good. All our surroundings, when we wake up in the morning, the roofing was all gone. And we have no power for almost for 1 month. We have no cell phone. We have no iPad. We have no telephone. No lights. Can you imagine to live in a place like that? I don't think American can understand that. No. It is very hot. Humid. Brothers and sisters, it is very humid. And we cannot sleep at night. We need to have the fun like this. Ooh. We shared finding ourselves, you know, and our children. But thank God, through it all, we've learned to trust in Jesus. Thank God for the grace that He has for us every day. Bible says that His grace is sufficient for our every need every day. It is God who gives us the strength to face the challenges of life in this world. I know someday, somehow, God is coming and He will comfort us. He will give us the best place to stay where we can no longer say, oh, I'm hot. It is just good in heaven. So, it is good to serve the Lord. It is great to serve the Lord. There is no other place I'd rather be than to be in the presence and in the house of the Lord, to be with the brethren who loves the Lord as well. I don't know if I will preach today, but I think I would like to show some slides. But I think I will sing first. My husband, you know, married life is a workshop. You know why? The husband work in the wife shops. That is a workshop.
Hallelujah.
So, bear it in mind, it's a workshop.
Just borrowed this, so
it don't sound right. But anyway, we are Christ's ambassadors, and our colors we must unfurl. We must wear a spotless robe, cleansing righteous before the world. We must show we're cleansed from sin. A missionary song. Hallelujah. Wherever the Lord leads us, we will obey. Amen. That is the duty of a true Christian and born again Christian. Hallelujah. You see, in the Philippines, every region or every town, like in my place, we speak different dialects. He is from the north, I came from the south. And when the north and south gets together, you know what will happen. Just like here, north and south, they fight. But the grace of God is really good. When we are in Christ, He makes things different. Yeah, His Spirit works within us so that we can learn to adjust. We have a menu in our place that we use lots of coconut milk. And in his place, he doesn't like coconut milk. So when we move to this place where we are pioneering the church, we have no money, so I need to have the coconut milk to feed him. And you know the result? He has diarrhea. he has diarrhea. He's not used to eat coconut milk. We will get some vegetables, and I put coconut milk on it. And he said, he cannot make any kind of menu that I can eat so that I will not go to the bathroom oftentimes. I said, I'm sorry, that's all we got. So, you know, the Lord had taught us to be thankful in whatever situation we are. When we have no rice, we memorize. You know what I mean? We memorize the word. We eat the word. Literally, we eat the word. And if no rice, we fast. But thank God, it didn't stay it that way. It only passes by. All our hardship in life, brothers and sisters, it will not linger. It will just pass away. The most important thing that we need is to respond right. We need to have a right response to every situation. We need to have the mind of Christ, how to react in every difficulties that we have. Reacting negatively will not help. But when we act like Christ did, victory will come to us. In whatever situation we are facing, God has the answer for us. I just would like to read some scriptures from Psalms 101. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. 103, rather. And all God is within me. Bless His holy name. Have you experienced talking to yourself? Have you? I do. And sometimes I will go to the mirror and I told myself, hey, you need to worship God right. Don't be lazy. See, we need to remind ourselves, we need to remind our mind and ourselves what we are in Jesus. We need to tell, just like David. David talked to himself. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. He was telling his soul, hey, maybe he was kind of lazy, you know. He was not vocal about worshiping the Lord. So he told himself, bless the Lord, David, because God has so much and He has done so much for you. And I remind myself all the time, I said, you need to worship God because of the many great things He has done for your life, Nancy. Yes. Because there is always, you cannot always depend to somebody to encourage you to worship God. How about if there is no more somebody around you that will encourage you? That will encourage us. And David said, he encouraged himself. So it is in the Bible that we need to encourage ourselves to worship God. Why? Because of the great things He has done for all of us. Yeah. What are the benefits that we need to worship God? You know, here in America, you have your Thanksgiving. Oh, it's coming. And I don't know if you can have Thanksgiving without turkey. But in the Philippines, we can have Thanksgiving without turkey. Either you have fish, your chicken, you can still be thankful to God. Amen. But I think it's traditional or it's in your culture that... But the best thing that we need to have in our Thanksgiving is to tell God vocally who He is, what He is in our lives, and what the benefits that we have received from Him. Amen. Just thinking of myself, who am I? I have 10 fingers. Can you see your hands with 10 fingers? Wow! There are some people who doesn't have both arms. Do you know this guy from Australia? What is his name? Nick. His name is Nick Buttigieg. He was born without arms, without both legs. Bringing so much encouragement to the body of Christ. Yes. To think that he is not complete, but still, he changed his mind. He connected with the mind of Christ, and now he is bringing so much joy to those people who is invalid, and be bringing encouragement that they can do what they want if they will connect their lives to Jesus. Because Jesus alone is the joy giver. He is the one who gives hope to those who don't have hope. Worship and praising the Lord brings hope, brings peace, brings victory. And when Satan hears us preaching and worshiping Him, mentioning the name of Jesus, the devil trembles. The devil runs from us. And he gives us the victory that we are asking. Because you know the devil is a liar. He cannot talk you out. He cannot lie to us because he has been defeated and his place is under our feet. When Satan comes and tells us, oh, you are nothing, you're a loser, tell him, Satan, you are defeated, you are a liar. The Bible says I am a winner because Jesus had won the victory for me. Can we give hand a clap offering? Hallelujah. You say, we have so many things to be thankful for. Hallelujah. We have the strength. You are not in the hospital right now. There are many people who want to get out from the hospitals, but they can't. But praise God, here we are. We have two eyes that can see, can read the Word of God, but sometimes we take it for granted. We don't hear, we don't read the Word of God as often. So how can we win the victory over the enemy? By worshiping the Lord. How do we worship God? Jesus said, love the Lord with all. Say it. I am so at home here because the way you worship God, just like the way we have in the Philippines, we love to worship the Lord. We give our whole being. We give our strength. That sometimes, you know, the worship, we stop the worship because people are falling in the presence of God. Yes, there is always great things and awesome things when we worship God, even in a very difficult situation. One time, I had this chronic depression. I went through chronic depression, brothers and sisters. And it came to my mind that as if I'm going to get crazy. I could not think, right? I said, Lord, I don't want to be like this. And the devil said, oh, you're going to die. You know, he keeps on repeating on my ear. I said, Lord, I don't like to die. See, I was believing the lies of the devil. But when I get into the Word, and the Word revealed to me that He cannot overcome good, but good overcome evil. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust in Your Word fully, and I will not listen. You see, when we use the name of Jesus in worship, all the demon spirit, they get out from you. Hallelujah. He will leave you alone. You say amen? He will leave you alone. In Jesus is always there for us in the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to cope up with every situation that we are in. And you know, I didn't know that I was in depression. So the Lord taught me what to do. I said, Lord, I just want to rely upon you. I don't like to be this way. And I keep reasoning. When I myself, I said, it is not a good testimony, Jesus, that a pastor's wife got crazy. You know, I was reasoning to the Lord. So I said, you need to help me. I really need your help. And you know, the Holy Spirit speak into my heart. Get into the Word. Worship me vocally. Sing to me with a new song. And read the Word. And the Holy Spirit just pour in what He was telling me to read about fear, because I was so fearful. I don't like to die. You want to die? Not in the time that God wants us to die. No, of course not. So, because I don't want to die, during the night I don't go to sleep, because the devil was telling me, you're not going to wake up. When you get to sleep, you're not going to wake up. So I just keep on sealing my eyes and said, Lord, but when the Holy Spirit spoke to me that I need to get into the Word and memorize the Word and sing the Word of God, hallelujah, it took me 6 months to get rid of that depression. The Word of God is real. It is a medicine to our soul and to our spirit. If we take it, if we declare it, you know, God has declared us we are righteous in His sight. We just need to agree what the Word of God is telling us. See, agreement is important in the eyes of God. We need to agree what He said, praise me, and everything will be all right. Hallelujah. We need to be in that place where we can really and truly worship God in spirit and in truth. From here, not only here. It's good to mix it together from here and here. And then we can shout to the Lord with a loud voice, hallelujah, and sing shout a victory for Jesus. You know, we are on victory side. Can you say amen? We are not a loser. Satan is a loser. We are on victory side and we are going to win. We are winners. Hallelujah. That's what I'm telling the enemy. You cannot win, devil, because from the beginning, Jesus has placed you under His feet and we trample you down. Amen. Hallelujah. So, We have problems, we have troubles, we have so many difficulties in life, but through it all, through the Word of God, through the promises of God, we have won the victory, and we are still winning the victory. Let us give praise to God. Hallelujah. God, you are awesome. You are victorious. And why we are victorious also. Thank you for the life. And okay, shall we see the... narrate some of them. We belong to the North Tagalog District. This is our accomplishment report. Thank you, Jesus. This is our vision. And this is our district board. We have 7 in our board. And do you know who is this? This is in our church during our Sunday worship. We are praying. This is, wait a minute, don't turn it off. We are reaching out even to the children. And this is one of our lady pastor who is pastoring in one church. We are sharing the word of God to the mothers. This is one pastor that is receiving your support. This is ladies' prayer meeting together. This is in one of our church way back in the north with all their young people and members. They are not yet developed. This is blessing the pastors. These are all our pastors in our districts. Pastor Lay, this is one of the church that have received your offering. This is one of our young people in the church that has now a pastor. This guy is a pastor in the place where there was a strong typhoon and his church totally collapsed. This is during the women's gathering. This is in our church. We are giving gifts to the pastors. One of our lady pastors. They are so happy having their gifts open. I'm doing my lecture in front of the pastors. This is during our December convention with all the pastors. We are dedicating some of the new ministers and leaders, some of our pastors. And we have a regular board meeting with all the... This is in one of the church in Pangasinan. Pastor Dan is thinking so hard. That's why he's holding his head. We are having our strategy meeting. The same we are having our meeting in our church. Women ministry. We are reaching out women to different levels of our government, of our community. We pray and we bring all the prayer requests during our meeting. This is one of our guests. This is during our meeting. Youth ministry. We have camp, annual youth camp with the youth. We are reaching the youth. And with the children, we have children feeding program. These are still the youth during our camp. One of our pastors who are sharing the gospel to the policemen. Value formation for the police. That is in the government working with them. The same thing, even the lady policeman helping the children, teaching the values of life. This is one of our pastors in our district. And sharing the gospel to the children. And we are having...